But let's just start with the folks in my audience who don't really know Knicks. Talk a little bit about the history and how you got involved, and just catch us up.
So Knicks Burgers, I actually think it has a pretty cool history and pretty cool start to the story. Knicks actually was not supposed to be a burger place at all. It was actually supposed to be a hot sub shop. And at the last minute, the landlord couldn't allow, because of a non-compete and some other legalities, for there to be another sub shop in the shopping center. So the burgers and the hot dogs was really a setback and punt. To see where it has gotten to now, is it still blows mine and the original owner, Ralph's mind. Ralph Browser is the original owner. He's a really close friend of mine, like really like a brother to me. He started the restaurant back in April 2010, right after 08 recession. And, you know, it was a really a ballsy, risky move for him to do at that time. But he got it started. And, you know, for the first 5 years, you know, talking with him, it was crickets. You know, people would enjoy it when they would come in. But, you know, it was a long 5 years for him to endure. And then year six, the ball really got rolling. Word started getting out. And after he got 5 good years under his belt, he has 4 kids. He has a big, beautiful family. And, you know, the restaurant business, as you know, can be very demanding, takes a lot of time and requirement, as any business can be. You know, it is a second marriage. And he decided 10 years, you know what, I would like to get out, but he didn't want to get out and just hand it over to, you know, the wrong person. He wanted someone to keep their legacy, what they were trying to do alive. That's where we came into place. We took it over a month before COVID hit. Wow. And my wife was really questioning my decisions at that point. But I told her just hold on, and it all worked out.
No, I think it's more than worked out for you. I think you've got an incredible business. Very, very smart decision to take on something that I think has been doing as well as Knicks. But let's back up a little bit, because it sounded like you know, and I find this, I get a chance to talk to so many different business owners, a lot of restaurant owners, and I'm always impressed by each person's story, because it's so unique and just custom to their experience and their circumstances. But if I heard you correctly, Knicks was never intended to really be the Knicks that we know and love today, right?
Nope. It was hot sub. It was going to be like a flat press sub, was the original idea, which would have been amazing. And Ralph, the original creator, he is a heck of a self-taught and self-educated cook. He can cook some of the best meals that you'll eat. He just loves it. It's in his heart.
Yeah, I I'll often remind, I coach a lot of entrepreneurs, and you know, they're working on different startup businesses. And I always encourage people, just get started. Don't try to answer all the questions. You know, you can have all the business plan. You can make a business plan. You can do all those things, but you just need to get started. And as my grandfather used to remind me, you also have to embrace change along the way, because you just never know when that change is going to end up being a lot greater and bigger and better than anything you ever thought of originally. And so I think that story really encapsulates that kind of a belief. So that is really incredible. I had no idea. That's how Knicks came into play. Now, how long have you guys been down in Welcome?
The whole time since the creation of 2010. We've never gone anywhere. And there's not another location, but soon in the near future, maybe both of those will be a reality.
Well, I came down, might have been maybe a couple of months ago at this point. Now I try to get down there when I can. And I'm going to tell you, I came and they told me, they said, hey, it's going to be a 45 minute, you know, 1 hour wait. And I said, all right, I've already invested in the drive. I can go listen to some music or something for the next 45 minutes. I saw a lot of people waiting, and I didn't hear anyone complaining. Is that a typical night for Knicks?
That is, man. We stay jam packed, and anyone who comes, like yourself, knows it is a line to the door most days. You know, the beautiful thing about Knicks is you know, the name is Nick's Old Fashioned Burgers. And that's really behind the process of what we're doing. We're just doing it the way they used to back in the day when things were a lot more simple. You know, you had to slow down the pace a little bit. And that's kind of what that weight forces people to do. We get a lot of people that tell us, I actually enjoy coming here to get the food because I know it's going to be a little bit of a wait, so I can get caught up on emails or, yep, you know, veg out on my phone or just listen to music. And we see a lot of older demographic. It just reminds them of back in the day, just a curb hop out back and just watch everybody.
And you got a lot of young people working in there. I mean, are those kids that go to like North Davidson High School up the road or?
Yeah, so all of our kids come from either the local community college or the local high schools, and they're great people. That's really the everybody says, what's the secret? Man, it's the people. It really is. I mean, I couldn't do if I was doing this by myself, everybody would be getting breakfast sandwiches and lunch, and I'd be out. There's no way I could do what we're doing without them. And the growth and all the stuff that's happened, I tell people all the time, me and my wife, the only things we really did were we just showed up 3.5 years ago and started telling the world about what we were already in love with and, you know, multiple repeat customers a week. I saw the potential in the people, the process and the product. And that really is the main thing that I did. I seen something that everybody else was walking past and I just was like, hey, look at this.
Well, you know, Marcus Lemonis said it's all about product, people, and process. So you hit the triple P's right there. And I will attest, I will confirm what you're saying. You've got really great people down there. I've never had a bad visit or a service issue or felt like I was being rushed or any of the kind of things that sometimes you run into with a younger employee base, but I've always had a really, really great experience down there. Now, you said that you took over before COVID, and obviously COVID was like a bomb went off inside the restaurant community throughout the entire state, really all over the country. One, how did you keep your good people during the COVID years?
Well, luckily, the core staff, we had them locked in and engaged on what the goal and the mission was from the get-go. We laid out what our plans were for Nick's and what our plans were with them in the future growing. So they were committed and invested after the original conversations. And then when they saw the changes start to happen, it meant more to them. But really, man, I don't have any secret recipe. I think a lot of it, man, is just divine intervention, something that was supposed to happen. I can't take all the credit for it. There's just a lot of unexplainable things that have happened at Nick's to get us where we're at.
You know, I'll often, man, I have people come all the time asking me, well, hey, Algernon, what's the secret? Like, how did you do this? How did you pull that off? And I tell folks most times I don't even know how I did it. It's sort of funny how things just sort of when you believe in something and you're convicted by your beliefs and you have strong vision and you put the work in and you hustle. It's really shocking how things just start to happen for you. I often tell people there's no such thing as luck. You know, luck is basically when preparation meets opportunity. That's all it is. So you got to work hard, you got to stay prepared and just stay ready. And I think that's something you all have been doing down there. Now, you know, Nick's, you guys have won like some really big awards. I think you won a national award or national recognition. You also just got nationally recognized by Yelp as having one of the best burgers in North Carolina.
Yes, sir.
Some of that national attention that you've been able to attract, where do you think that comes from?
Other than the customer base here in the Triad, something I was blown away with when we first came was the drive that people would consistently make to come eat the burgers. Statesville. I mean, people drive from Statesville and Mooresville and Huntersville, like, they're just coming from Midway or Winston to come grab a burger, and they'll do it weekly, you know, week after week. And I think just being spread around and maybe continuously talked about, I don't know, because we've had a Reader's Digest recognition, a Taste of Homes, who's also on my Reader's Digest national recognition. Now the Yelp thing, we were in our state. I think to be recognized in our state, only 13 years in the business is huge. You know, when I think of our state, I think of, you know, the rich history of North Carolina and people that have been in business for much longer than we have. Man, I wish I had answers for these questions, but I really don't, man. I tell people all the time, we're literally just showing up every day with people that we would hang out with on the weekends. Mm. And we're just trying to make really good food for people and have some good conversation and complete our tasks and not be stressed out. We all came from walks of life where we were in stressful environments. And we feel blessed to be just making burgers and cutting up with people all day.
No, I love Our State Magazine. I often tell restaurant owners that's the holy grail. If you can get an Our State Magazine. I remember when Cranky's made Our State Magazine with their biscuit.
Yeah.
And they had people driving from Asheville hours to yeah. try that biscuit. And so Our State does have a unique way of just getting out to people about who you are and what you're all about. And yeah. and I think word of mouth marketing, which is something that Nick's has really, truly benefited from. I think mm-hmm. I tell owners all the time, that is some of the best marketing that you can get is when customers actually walk out of your business and go tell five of their closest friends that you have mm-hmm. to come get a burger down here and welcome. It's better than running ads. It's better than radio ads, TV ads, you name it. Word of mouth marketing is so powerful. And the way that I actually found out about you, Jeremy, there's a gentleman that I used to buy T-shirts from down right. He makes your shirts or used to make your shirts.
Yeah.
And like literally right down the road from you guys. And I was picking up my shirts one day and I saw your shirts. And I said, well, what is this place, Nick's? He said, well, that's only the best burger in the whole state of North Carolina. I said, well, you do realize I'm trying to open a burger spot. so I had to come around and check you all out. But word of mouth is so incredibly strong. Well, I'm so happy to not only be able to call you a friend, but also call you a supporter of Eat, Drink, Triad. You were there in the early days when we first came together during COVID and just trying to provide some connectivity to our restaurant owners and also just help our elected officials and leaders to really understand what was happening within our restaurant community as a result of COVID. But I, you know, Taste of the Triad has a really interesting history. For some of my audience that may not be aware of Taste of the Triad, they might remember the old Bell Brothers cafeteria that's located at Ogburn Station on the north side of Winston-Salem. But you all were able to acquire that restaurant, renovate it, and create today what we know as Taste of the Triad. So let's start there. Talk a little bit about the history and sort of this long road you've been on for a while.
And it's actually been almost 7 years. We all know, well, many of us know, Bell Brothers was in existence, Ogburn Station, for 46 years. So I also grew up going to Bell Brothers. I stood in that long line to get some of that delicious soul food back in the younger days. And when I left North Carolina in 1985, I actually did not plan on coming back home. The way Bell Brothers found me and the Taste of the Triad started. My aunt, she got a revitalization loan. She spent 4 years fixing this place up. And they opened in 2016. They were only here for a short period, about 7 months. And I was in Michigan. And it was fate. It was just timing. I decided to come home and take over. And the name Taste of the Triad came from Irvin Williams. You may know of Nola Catering. He's in Greensboro.
He's been on the show. We know Chef Irvin.
Everybody knows Chef. And he was my mentor and helped me bring this thing back. And it took us about 5 weeks. We counted down, we opened Taste of the Triad. At that time, I was in the people business, Algernon, not the restaurant business. So it was a lot for me to learn. And I commuted for 2.5 years because I was afraid to let my guaranteed corporate America, you know, job. I was afraid to let that go. Making that decision and moving home permanently in 2019, towards the end of the year, was the best thing I could have ever done, because COVID happened in 2020, as we all know. And Algernon, that's when you and I started working closer together. You were one of many vessels that we needed to stay afloat. So once I moved back, we continued what we're doing today, catering child nutritional programs, as well as continuing this cafeteria style line that we have here at The Taste. We did not veer away from what Bell Brothers did. We just decided to try to find our own flavor. And we had to find a way to have people think of Taste of the Triad and not always say the old Bell Brothers. So it took some time. But during this period of COVID, we stopped catering at schools because the schools were closed. And you and I worked together, and you helped bring some contracts into place for us to feed children and families, seniors in need, whether it was the YMCA or through Love Out Loud and some other nonprofit organizations. And that's when I really started to think about diversity. I realized that you could not just operate the restaurant and expect one particular area, which was school catering, to, you know, keep you afloat. Luckily, thankfully, we never closed our doors during COVID. A lot of people found us because they, you know, started looking on Facebook and they said, well, gosh, she's got plates and they're affordable. Meatloaf and baked chicken and fried chicken. And there were things that you were at home and you didn't want to continue cooking dinner every single day. You didn't want to go to Popeyes or some of the fast food restaurants and pick up your meal. You wanted that home cooked plate. Yeah. And that's what we ended up, that just took us to another level. So where a lot of people struggled, and a lot of people struggled, but a lot of people became creative. A lot of people found us.
Yeah.
Taste of the Triad.
Yeah.
During that period.
Let me ask a couple questions here. Let me back up. So you say that you left a corporate job, you know, nice, cushy corporate job to jump in the wilderness here of owning a restaurant. You know, anyone who has ever owned a restaurant, worked at a restaurant, or is connected to a restaurant can understand just the uncertainty of that business and just how stressful and challenging it can be. What motivated you? I mean, at a deep level, what really motivated and inspired you to make that transition? I mean, I get entrepreneurs all the time that are thinking about starting things, but they find it very difficult to make that transition from their corporate life to the more entrepreneurial life.
I can tell you, if when I look back, I can't believe I actually did it. However, just having a conversation with my aunt and the fact that she spent 4 years and she started it, I always wanted to do something on my own, but I'd never really ventured out. But it was something that was actually in place. And I said, if I could actually take the baton of what she was inspired to do, that maybe I could figure the rest out. So what I would say to anyone, when you're seeking something else, a lot of it is heart, but you've also, you know, when you think about the business plan, sometimes, you know, just as COVID happened, you can have the best 2, 3, 5 year business plan laid out, but life and circumstances, with the way the world moves so fast, it will it will take that away. So it's heart. And if you have a consistency about you, and you have to have obviously a financial safety net, because there was a lot of stick and stay that I had to do. And I had to believe that we would make it to the other side. So it sounds cliche, but if anyone is seeking a brick and mortar, being in the people business is the most important side of it. It's if you love to cook and if you love to bake, the people side is the part that takes over no matter what you're doing in the kitchen. And we learned that we thought our food was good, but how do I bring people to the restaurant?
Yeah,
how do I bring contracts, and how do I bring loyalty to this space?
You know, I come up and visit with you all as often as I can. I'm in a tough position, Sabrina, because I've got to get out and spread the love. You know, if people don't see me come in for a little while, they start to want to check on me. They want to know why I haven't been by the store. But I try to get up there. I try to also, you know, encourage people to come eat lunch up there. If I've got a lunch meeting or something like that, I really suggest, you know, having lunch at Taste the Triad. And one of the things that I always notice is when I come by there, there's a probably 85-90% probability that you're in the store. You may not always be able to talk, but you're doing things in the kitchen, or you're working with your staff up front, or you're running a catering order. You're doing something. If you're not in the store, you're doing something related to the store. You're running an order or doing something like that. You said a moment ago that for a while you just commuted. You weren't here all the time. What was the fundamental difference once you were in the business versus trying to run the business remotely?
Well, it meant everything. And when I wasn't here, even if I was on the phone, even if I was communicating with people daily, my presence and the owner and me getting my hands dirty. If you come in here on a Sunday, many people that are Sunday customers, I'm on the line. I serve all day on Sunday because it's still needed. So that touching and feeling and being a part of it, and thanks for bringing that to light, Algernon, is everything. And we're closed on Monday and Saturday. Today is Monday. I work all day because I'm pulling things back together. And this is a day I'm not customer facing. But when my clients walk in, and when new customers come in the door and they don't know I'm the business owner, I don't always have to look like a business owner. Just my presence, providing the professionalism, and it teaches my team, you know, to believe in what we're doing.
I think it's so critical, and I wanted to shed light on it because just in the last few days, I had someone contact me and said that they want to open a restaurant. They wanted some coaching and some guidance and direction. And one of the things that I always try to remind people, especially if you're doing a locally owned restaurant, it is so important that you are in the store, you're in the business. I think people forget that. They see other restaurants that might be a little more mature where the owner may not be there. I mean, because you do get to a point where you've got enough of these units, you don't necessarily have to be there every day. But when you're in that critical phase that you're in right now, where you're still trying to develop a loyal customer base, customers are going to be a lot more forgiving if they see the owner in there and actually sweating it out, working it out right alongside the employees. And I believe, you know, I think you've got great food. I think you've done a lot of the right things to try to market the business. But I think the thing that you're doing is actually leading to the success is your presence, is you actually in there rallying the troops and being a part of whatever the solution needs to be for your restaurant. Now, you know, for some of my younger audience members, they're not going to be too familiar with the cafeteria style delivery model. When they hear cafeteria, Sabrina, they think of school, they think of the hospital, they think of something that might be more institutional in nature. Help us understand what you like and love about the cafeteria business and what's different about it.
And that's probably the key. What you said last is what's different. We're in Ogden Station. We're off the beaten path. There are no restaurants. There are no stores. There is really nothing around me. You will pass this place if it's not a destination. So that's what we realized is actually being different was probably the best thing that we could have ever done. by keeping that cafeteria style line, which means you can see your food. When you walk through the door, Leo Rucker has this really cool sign, grab a tray, you know, welcome to the taste. And if you're going to dine in, you grab a tray just like you did when you were in school. But this, the difference is you're not going to walk through and have some of the items that we were served and survived, okay, while we were in school. You're going to walk, you know, through the line and you're going to see a, you know, a menu that says, you know, pick a meat and two sides. So it's really entree based. And if there's a lunch special, there's a daily chef special, but you're going to see your ribs, you're going to see your meatloaf and your baked chicken. And you may gaze up and say, you know what? You don't have fried chicken out here. I'd like some fried chicken. We're going to make that to order during the weekday. I'd like a pork chop sandwich, or, you know, I'd like croaker fish, you know. So having multiple options and allowing people to see their food is what makes this restaurant different when you walk through the door. And when I say multiple options, we on Sunday, gosh, we may have 12 meat options. And during the week, we're going to have at least 8 meat options. And your sides, you're going to have more. So probably 12 different sides to choose from. So what happens, you're excited, just like when you go to TJ Maxx and you see, you know, the end caps when you're in line. I'm picking something up because I'm standing here. So if you that see two impulse. Items, two sides, you're going to have a third one, right? And those are the things that, you know, you're ticking up your revenue by having multiple options. You're exciting the client, the customer, where they can see it. So you can look at a picture of a beautiful, you know, steak dinner on the wall, or you can look at some of my sauce beef ribs right in front of you and say, that looks really yummy. So that's what it is. It's instant gratification. You walk in, customer service is so important. We greet you. Family is a big word around here. Hey, family. And sometimes people, they, oh, I'm not your family. But once they get to know us, they know that's just the way we speak.
Yeah. The executive producer of the Locked In podcast is Algernon Cash for WGC. The associate producer is Tim Beeman for Such and Such Media. This podcast is copyrighted and cannot be reproduced without express written consent of WGC.